and we look to the wise men, the magi, or often referred to in song, the three kings. I want to work through that passage of Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and a few other verses, and just bring out some very important points for us as believers to cling to all the days of our life. Matthew writes it this way: after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, this is King Herod the Great that you often hear referred to. He was great because he was a great builder, but he did not have great character. King Herod the Great was a ruthless king, and he would kill family, he would kill wives, he would kill anybody that he felt was threatening his kingship. So this is that King Herod. And at that time of his life, Jesus is born in Bethlehem. And the text says magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, there's a lot of discussion out there of where is this location that the magi came from. And there's much speculation. Some think Persia, others think Babylon, some think Nineveh, some think Arabia. And the point is that we don't want to get lost and miss the most important part of the story, focusing on the issues of the text that we simply do not know. We simply know that magi were wise men. They were men that studied the stars. They were astronomers, and some were astrologers. Astronomy would focus on the movement of the planets. Astrology would focus on how the movement of the planets would affect life on Earth. But these wise men had been given at least some kind of sign from God, and they recognized that it was a sign from God. And this wonderful sign that these men were given was a star. But it's interesting, as you listen to people talk about the explanation of the star, was this star the great conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, the star of Bethlehem that we've heard all about and that people's been looking out into the horizon on December 21st and the following days to hopefully catch a glimpse of something that hasn't taken place for the visible eye to see since 1226 A.D.? Danielle and I were at Target finishing some Christmas shopping, and we were in the children's section, and there was two young ladies that worked there at Target, and they were re-racking and straightening clothes and having the most serious conversation, unaware that we were right beside them listening. And this was their words: "Oh, have you heard about the star?" And one said, "Yeah, the star of Bethlehem." And the other like, "Yo, it's called the Great Conjunction. What do you think this means?" And twice one young lady said, "I hope it doesn't mean, like some are saying, the end of the world." And the other girl replied, "I don't think it means the end of the world, but you know, they say if you're out in it and get caught up in the glow, you're going to get supernatural powers." Isn't it a crazy thing that people will think when they look at the star of Bethlehem? We don't know for sure if the star of Bethlehem was the overlapping and the aligning of Jupiter and Saturn. We don't know if it was a comet. We don't know if it was a supernova. We don't know if it was a special light. We don't know if it was an angel of God. And sometimes, and some people get so caught up in all the marginal questions that they miss the big question. And the big question is, there was a star, and that star was provided by God, and it was a light, and that light guided these magi, these wise men. And the next thing you know, we hear them showing up in Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who is to be born king of the Jews?" They were on a journey to find the Christ child. We don't know how they knew that part and didn't know the part that they're asking, "Where is this child to be born?" And they are told by Herod and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the teachers of the law that he brings together, that this child was to be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is 5 to 6 miles, just sort of south of Jerusalem. And why God wanted them there in Jerusalem speaking to Herod, we may never know, but God had a purpose. And God's purpose would be fulfilled, because what we ultimately see is Herod's heart is being revealed. But before we go on any further, what I want you to see, as I think is the most important part of this story to this point, is that God is taking these men from a foreign country, from the east, where all of Israel's enemy nations lived, and he is bringing these Gentile men to discover the Christ child. Do you remember last Christmas Eve, just a few days ago, we looked at Simeon, and what did Simeon say? He said, "This child is destined to cause the rising and the falling of many, and he will be a sign that will be spoken against, and the hearts of many will be revealed." We see here the hearts of the Magi are being revealed. God has given them a star. God has given them enough information that they want to see the king of the Jews that has been born. They end up here in Jerusalem. They talk to Herod, this ruthless, conniving, evil man. But they find out that Jesus is just some 5 or 6 miles away. The star that they had seen whenever they left the foreign land guided them for how long? We don't know. But now it has disappeared and it is gone. And they say to Herod, "We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." And we get another glimpse that the goal of these men's hearts, however many there are, was to find the Christ child and worship him. Oh, what an insight that is for us. That the birth of Jesus Christ, yes, is the glory of the people of Israel, but it's also, as Simeon told us, is a revelation to the people of Israel. Jesus Christ has come into the world, and he is the hope of all mankind, because he is for all mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We are seeing God's message that Jesus is for all people, Jew and Gentile, and that both should worship the Lord. The hearts of the Magi are there to worship, and it's being revealed as they have traveled, as some would estimate, between 600 to 1,000 miles, a journey that would take them at least 20 to 30 days or more, and they are going on that journey to see the Christ child, and they want to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, the text says. And then it says, and all of Jerusalem with him. So it shows you right there that there was a big commotion taking place as this caravan of wise men came into Jerusalem, these foreigners, these people from the east, and the enemies of Israel were from the east. And most scholars think that whenever they ask, where is the king that Herod is feeling threatened? They think there's going to be an invasion against Jerusalem. But all of that is still speculation. But we see Herod is disturbed and everybody with him is upset. So Herod says, call together all the people, the chief priests, the teachers of the law. And he asked them, where was the Messiah to be born? And then we have that beautiful quote that comes out of Micah chapter 5. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rest of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd his people, Israel. And so now the Magi have the information. Herod, it says in the following verse, called the Magi secretly and found out what time, the exact time that the star had appeared to them. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, come back and report to me so that I may go too and worship him. Now we know, as the text continues to develop, that this is an absolute lie. Herod is deceiving the Magi. Jesus Christ, the newborn king, the king of the Jews, is a threat to his kingship. And Herod wants to destroy this newborn king. Another interesting reality that we see in the text, where is this newborn king? Jesus wasn't a future king. Jesus was born a king. It wasn't that someday he would be a king. It was at his birth, he was God's special, unique, everlasting king. And Herod lies and says, when you find him, come back and tell me where he's at so I also can go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. Now listen to this in your text if you're following along in the Bible. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped. So they saw the star, and then the star for a time was gone. They're in Jerusalem. They find out Jesus is born in Bethlehem. They make their way towards Bethlehem, and then the star reappears. This is a unique star. And although we may never know the complete source and identity of what it actually was, it was an intervention by a holy God, the one and only God of heaven and earth, leading and guiding these magi to the place where Jesus was. The text says the star rose and it stopped over the place where the child was. Now, Jesus here isn't referred to as a baby. He's referred to as a child. And this star just goes right over and it stops over the house that he's in, the text says. But I love it when you look and it says, when the Magi saw the star, they were overjoyed. Overjoyed because they realized that God is leading them once again in a supernatural, phenomenal way. Now I want to just pause here in the story and sort of step out of it and say to you, does the movements of God in your life bring joy and happiness to your heart? When God moves in your life and does those incredible things that only God can get credit and the glory for, that you acknowledge this is a God moment, is your heart overjoyed? The shepherd's heart was overjoyed to see God's movement in their lives, and you and I should be overjoyed. I got a message from one of our members this morning. He asked me how my Christmas was. And I responded, it was great, and how was yours? And he said, Patrick, this is the best Christmas I've ever had. Now, I happen to know that this young man is seeking the Lord, and that the Lord is moving in his life like never before, and he is acknowledging all that God is doing for him. In fact, he says, it is absolutely awesome to see what God is doing in me and for me. I love what Duke said. Whenever we feel lost and we don't know what to do, may we all just forget about lying down and giving up or wallowing in pity. May we go straight to the throne room of God through Jesus Christ, our mediator, and we ask for God's help. Let us all be overjoyed, rejoiceful, admiring, and adoring Jesus Christ, our Savior, and what God is revealing to each and every one of us. It says, on coming to the house, they saw the child. That long, long journey and all the events, the ups and the downs, they're finally just where God led them to be. And in our lives like their lives, God determines the exact times and the exact places that we should live. God determines where our step will land before we ever pick our foot up. God is sovereign and God is working. And if we just surrender more and more as we watch for God's work in our lives, we will end up exactly where God is guiding us to. On coming to the house, not the manger, not a cave, not the stable, not a barn. Coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary. And they bowed down and worshiped him. You know, we get a chance in our daily lives to worship the Lord. And may we do it. And then we get the opportunity to come together as a church on the first day of the week, Sunday, and bow down together and worship the Lord. I love the words bowed down. Now, there's a time to stand, and there's a time to raise our hands in praise. But I am telling you, brothers and sisters, there's a time to get down on your knees and bow your head in submission and surrender to Christ the King and praise and worship Him. May we all find ourselves humble enough like these magi, these great men in this world, to humble themselves before a young child and bow and worship with authenticity and sincerity and humility. The Magi, these Gentiles, worshiped the Lord. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, because there's three gifts, that's why many people have assumed that there are three Magi, but we don't know that. There may have been more. We just don't know. And people try to make a lot out of the specific gifts, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. Gold, a kingly gift. Frankincense, that gift of incense, referring to what the priests would do in the temple of God, burning incense. And this myrrh, this oil that was used to cover the heads and the feet and the wounds of people. All that may be true, but what we can see most clearly is these wise men gave costly gifts to Joseph and Mary. And Joseph and Mary, as we witnessed them as they consecrated to Jesus in the temple to Simeon, they brought two turtle doves. Not the normal lamb and a pigeon or dove, just two turtle doves. which was made optional for those that were poor. Now, Mary and Joseph needed the funds to carry out and move and go where God would have them travel and go, and God provided for them. And I often think, you know, we give gifts as a symbolic sense of the wise men giving gifts to Mary and Joseph. Well, God here is symbolized in the literal sense of giving the greatest gift, His Son, for each and every one of us. What is your heart going to reveal about you? Is your heart like the Magi, that you are worshiping the Lord, that you are traveling, that you are seeking Him out, that you are surrendering, that you are bowing down, that you are worshiping, that you are giving of yourself to Him? Or is your heart being revealed to be a type of Herod, whose heart is evil and false and only wants to destroy the good thing, the good person that God has brought into this world? The Magi would have returned to Jerusalem. They would have told King Herod where they found Jesus. But they are warned in a dream not to return. And it says in verse 12, "And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." And then after this, a dream comes to Joseph, and he's told to get up and escape into Egypt because Herod is going to try to kill Jesus. And then the story just continues. Today, as we close this year of 2020, this Sunday morning, my encouragement to you is focus on the wonderful truths of what God has done in the Christmas story. Don't get all caught up in all the details that are so marginal that none of us will ever be able to really answer, because you miss the joy and the beauty of the story. Just picture in your mind Magi maybe riding on camels across the desert, and they finally arrive just where God wanted them, at the time God wanted them. And may Jesus Christ, both as a child and as a risen Savior, reveal your heart to love Him more than anything else in this world. And as we come into a new year, may you consecrate and dedicate your life to the Lord and His church, and your service of Him, as together we continue to point people to Jesus. God bless each and every one of you. Let us sing together.